Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakaupatarubhyastya Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So we're reading the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita.
今天我们来学习《般若梵歌》的第一章。
The first chapter begins with Sanjay putting a with Dhritarashtra putting a question to his secretary Sanjay.
第一章的开头就是 Dhritarashtra 他问了他的秘书 Sanjaya 一个问题。
Dhritarashtra was a blind king, and
Dhritarashtra 是一个瞎的国王。
And he has 100 sons preparing for war.
他有100个儿子准备战争。
And they're going to fight against the 5 Pandavas who are their relatives.
他们准备跟帕拉瓦武兄弟作战，他们帕拉瓦武兄弟是他们的亲戚。
So the Bhagavad Gita begins with a question by Dhritarashtra.
所以伯牙梵歌就是由 Dhritarashtra 向萨迦亚的一个问题开始的。
He wants to know what are his sons and what are the sons of Pandu doing in Kurukshetra?
他想知道就是他的儿子还有那个Pandu的儿子五个儿子他们在 Kurukshetra战场上在做什么。
He's concerned that the battle should take place.
他非常的这个关心这场战争应该发生。
He does not want his sons to compromise and to give up the chance of winning the kingdom.
他不希望自己的儿子妥协或是放弃这场战争，他想要自己的儿子赢得这个王国。
Lord Krishna had tried many ways to make a peaceful settlement.
就主 Krishna 他想了很多的办法，想要达成一个这个和平的解决方案。
But both Dhritarashtra and his eldest son Duryodhana had refused any peaceful settlement.
但是这个 Dhritarashtra 还有他的那个长子 Duryodhana 他们都拒绝了这个和平的解决方案。
And in this way, the battle was inevitable; it could not be avoided by any means.
这样的话，这个战争就是不可避免的，无论任何方式都无法避免这场战争。
So it was one of the greatest wars of ever fought on this planet.
所以这是这个星球上曾经发生过的最大的一个战争之一。
And many armies came from all over the world.
就来自全世界的这个很多的军队都来到这个地方。
And some were taking the side of the Pandavas, and many were taking the side of Dhritarashtra's sons.
就有些人是站在那个帕拉瓦五兄弟的一边，有些人是站在 Dhritarashtra 的儿子那一边。
So this first chapter begins with Duryodhana speaking.
所以第一章，after
Dhritarashtra made his question, then the scene switches. And Duryodhana begins to speak.
就是在这个第一章的话，在 Dhritarashtra 问了Sanjaya一个问题之后，就接下来就是 Duryodhana 开始说话了。
And he explains the things in their favor and the things which are not in their favor.
所以他就解释了这个战场上对他们有利的一些因素，还有对他们不利的一些因素。
Just like if you're going to do business, you have to know. Some things may be good for the business, and some other things may happen which may be bad for the business.
就好像你要做生意一样，你必须要知道，就有哪些事情是对这个生意是有利的，有哪些事情对生意是不利的。You
we cannot think that everything in the course of our life, everything that happens will be good.
我们不能想当然的认为，就我们生活当中所发生的一切都是好的。
So Duryodhana is talking to the man in charge of his army.
所以刘玉堂就对他们这个军队的这个首领讲话。
In charge of Duryodhana's army is Dronacharya.
这个掌管这个刘玉堂的军队的是那个 Dronacharya。
Dronacharya is a great fighter.
Dronacharya 是一个伟大的战士。
But he has a problem. He has one person on the other side who has taken birth who is meant to kill him.
但是他有一个问题，就是他的这个对方就在这个。多纳的这个对方里面有军队里面有一个人，他的出身就是为了杀死多纳本人的。
And that man was the son of Dronacharya's enemy.
所以这个人就是那个 Dronacharya 的敌人的一个儿子。
Dronacharya's enemy was Maharaj Drupada.
就是 Dronacharya 是 Drupada 国王。
And his son was known as Dhristadyumna.
他的儿子叫做 Dhristadyumna.
And Dhristadyumna had a sister named Draupadi.
然后 Dhristadyumna 有个妹妹 younger sister.
Twin sister. They were born the same time.
就他有个他们是双胞胎的一个妹妹或姐姐妹妹就是叫做 Draupadi.
And Draupadi is married to the five Pandavas.
然后 Draupadi 她嫁给了这个五个 Pandava 五兄弟。
And actually she's one of the main causes why this battle took place.
他是这个战争之所以发生的这个主要的起因，就 Draupadi。
Because the wife of the Pandavas was insulted, and this led to the battle of Kurukshetra.
因为这个潘纳五兄弟，也就 Draupadi 受到了这个Duryodhana他们一方的侮辱，所以导致了这个战争的发生。
So Dronacharya has.On the other side, there's one man meant to kill Dronacharya.
所以在那个 Dronacharya 的这个对方里面，有个人是专门要杀死 Dronacharya 的。
But Dronacharya has also many great fighters on his side.
然后 Dronacharya 他自己这一边也有很多的这个伟大的战士。
There's Bhishma, who is the son of the son of the river Ganges.
其中一个就是 Bhishma, 他是那个恒河女神的儿子。
But Bhishma also has a problem.
对 Bhishma 他也有一个问题。
There's also someone who brings a lot of trouble for Bhishma.
对，也有一个人，他是注定要给 Bhishma 带来很多麻烦。
This person is known by the name of Sikandi.
这个人的名字叫 Sikandi.
Sikandi was a woman, but she became a man.
Sikandi 曾经是个女人，但后来就变成了男人。
We sometimes see this.
就有时候我们在这个世界上也能看到，确实有这样的人。
Some women become men, some men become women.
就有些女人变成男人，有些男人变成女人。
So 5,000 years ago, also it happened.
所以五千年之前也是一样。
By power of some yaksha, not by medical means, not by doctors or surgery, but just by some powers of great persons.
所以那个 Sikandi 她变成女人，不是我们现在的这个通过这个手术啊，通过这个医学手段。他是一个 Yaksha 的一个神秘力量，把他变成了一个男人。
And Sikandi in her last life had been Amba.
Sikandi 她的上一世是那个 Amba.
And in her previous life as Amba, she had a big hatred for Bhishma and wanted Bhishma to die.
她的上一世是那个 Amba, 她对那个 Bhishma 非常的憎恨，她想要杀死 Bhishma。
When she gave up her body, she was still thinking like that. She wanted her next birth that she would come and she would help to bring about the death of Bhishma.
所以她在临死的那一刻，她还在想着这个事情。她想要在她自己的下一生，要那个，给 Bhishma 带去很多麻烦，最后要杀死他。
But Bhishma is not an ordinary person. He's the son of Mother Ganges.
但是 Bhishma 他不是一个普通的人，他是那个恒河女神的儿子。
And he has a benediction that he will not die until he wants to die.
然后他得了一个祝福，就是说这个祝福就是，只要他想要活下去，他就可以一直活下去，除非他自己选择死去。
And Bhishma is also a great fighter.
然后 Bhishma 也是一个伟大的战士。
But he is very old also.
但他已经是非常年长了。
When you see, if you see the pictures of Bhishma, he's got a big white beard.
假设你看那个 Bhishma 照片的话，你会发现他长着非常长的这个白胡子。
Been living a long time.
他已经活了很长时间了。
But still, he was going to the battle to fight.
但是，就算他这么年长，他还是去参加战争。
Because when in those days, in these ancient times, when the battle took place, the generals and the people in charge would not stay back. They would go and lead their army in the battle.
在古代的时候，当发生战争的时候，那些将军、那些领袖，他不会这个躲在后方，他会走在这个队伍的最前方去参加战斗，投入战斗。
Nowadays, when there's a war, the big leaders will sit in their office and send their men out to fight.
然后现代的战争就是那些领袖的话，将领的话都是躲在后方，然后派那个战士上战场，他自己就躲在后面。
But in the ancient times.These great generals, they were leading their army in the battle.
然后在古代的时候，就是那些伟大的将军，他会亲自率领这个战士去奔赴战场。
And they were fighting according to the religious principle.
而且他们是根据宗教的原则战争的。
Yeah, they would only fight equals.
他们只会跟自己这个势均力敌的人作战。
They would not look for some weaker person.
他不会专门找一些比他弱的人去打。
And if they had an advantage over someone, then they would not fight. If they had some weapon which the other person did not have, then they would not use that weapon.
假设他跟这个对方他有什么优势的话，比如他有样武器，对方是没有的，他就会放弃这个武器。
And so this was the rules by which the battle of Kurukshetra was fought.
所以这些就是那个库鲁切特战争所要遵守的一些法则。
Now, we said about the things that there are some good things in the favor of Duryodhana. He has great soldiers on his side.
就刚刚我们已经讲到了，就是 Duryodhana 他一方的那些有利的因素，就是他有很多伟大的这个战士跟他在一起。
But on the other side.There are also some great soldiers.
然后在他们的这个对方，他们也有很多很伟大的这个战士。
There is Arjuna, and Arjuna has Lord Krishna with him as his chariot driver.
其中一个是 Arjuna. Arjuna 是由 Krishna 亲自做他的这个马车夫。
Lord Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and he's come as to serve his devotee.
Krishna 他是至尊人格首身，他来到这个地球上为了服务他的奉献者。
Krishna of course has promised he's not going to fight.
但 Krishna 他曾经答应过他不会参加战斗的。
But he will be advisor and he will try to help his devotee.
但他会成为一个顾问，帮助他的奉献者。
So because Krishna is on the side of Arjuna, this is a great advantage for Arjuna.
所以因为 Krishna 跟 Arjuna 在一起，所以对 Arjuna 来说，这是一个非常大的这个有利的条件。
And it's a great threat to the army of Duryodhana.
然后对那个 Duryodhana 的军队来说，是一个极大的威胁。
Arjuna also has Hanuman on his flag.
然后 Arjuna 还在他的旗帜上还有这个 Hanuman。
Hanuman was a hero in a great battle which took place even millions of years before the battle of Kurukshetra.
就Hanuman 他是一场战争的英雄，这场战争发生在这个库鲁之野这场战争之前的这个几百万年之前。
In the history of the world, there were two great wars.
然后在世界历史上有两场伟大的这个战争。
And we're not talking about the ones which took place in the last century.
我们说的不是上个世纪所发生的战争，世界战争。
But millions of years ago, there was a great war fought between Ravan and Lord Ram in the kingdom of Lanka.
在这个几百万年之前，就是主 Rama 和这个他的对手 Ravana 之间就发生了一场战争。
At that time, Lord Rama, with the help of his army of monkeys, he had defeated Ravan.
这个时候就是在那场战争当中，就是 Hanuman 他有一对这个猴子的军队，他帮助主 Rama 就赢得了这场战争。
Hanuman was the hero of that battle.
然后 Hanuman 是这场战争里面的一个英雄。
Hanuman is also a Vaishnava.
Hanuman 也是个 Vaishnava.
And 5,000 years ago at Kurukshetra, the hero of the Kurukshetra war was Arjuna.
然后那个五千年之前的那个 Kurukshetra 那场战争里面的英雄就是 Arjuna.
So this is Vaishnava. They are expert in everything.
所以这些都是 Vaishnava， 他们精通所有的事情。
Prabhupada said we want Vaishnavas, not we don't want the Vaishnavas who just sit down and chant.
就帕帕的曾经说过，就我他不希望这个 Vaishnava 都是只是坐下来只在那里念诵。
He likes that the Vaishnava who is expert can do everything.
他希望这个每一位 Vaishnava 都是各方面的专家，能做各方所有的事情。
People like Hanuman and Arjuna.
像那个 Hanuman 和 Arjuna 这样的人。
They're great heroes in this battle.
他们都是这样战争当中的这个伟大的英雄。
So the Bhagavad Gita is this conversation between Krishna and Arjuna.
所以伯利亚梵歌就是主 Krishna 和 Arjuna 之间的一场对话。
Krishna is driving Arjuna's chariot into the middle of the battlefield.
就 Krishna 把 Arjuna 的战车就驾驶看到了这个两军对阵的这个中间的地方。
And with the beginning of the battle, both sides began to blow their conch shells.
然后在战争开始的时候，就两方都吹响了自己的这个海螺。
Each of the warriors, they carried their conch shell, and they would blow this conch shell, creating fear in the heart of the enemy.
那些战士，他们都带着海螺，然后他们吹响海螺，是为了这个为对方的这个军队制造恐惧。
So Bhishma blew his conch shell.
就 Bhishma 就吹响了他的海螺。
But then Arjuna and Krishna, they also blew their conch shells.
然后 Arjuna 和 Krishna 他们也吹响了自己的海螺。
And Arjuna's and Krishna's conch shells, their sound was transcendental.
然后 Arjuna 和那个 Krishna 他们海螺的声音被描述为是超然的。
A different experience from the sound of the enemy.
然后他们的这个声音跟那个 Arjuna 的海螺的声音是不一样的。
So then Krishna drove Arjuna's chariot into the middle of the battlefield so that Arjuna could see everyone on both sides of the battle.
就这样就 Krishna 把 Arjuna 的战车就看到了战场的中间，这样的话 Arjuna 就可以看到这个作战双方到底有哪些人。
And he saw on both sides, on both sides he could see his relatives, his own people from his own family generation, his friends, his teachers.
在这个作战的双方，就 Arjuna 都可以看到他的家人，就看到他的亲戚，看到他这个来自他家庭当中的人，他的朋友，他的老师等等。
Many different people he could recognize on both sides.
这个在对阵双方，他可以认出很多人，他都是认识的。
So recognizing all these people, Arjuna began to feel doubtful about taking part in the battle.
所以认出那些人之后，他就很怀疑他自己到底要不要打这场战争。
Because Arjuna is a devotee, he has very good qualities.
因为 Arjuna 他是个奉献者，他有非常好的品质。
The sign of a pure devotee is that he will have perfect qualities.
就是一个这个好的奉献者的特征，就是他有完美的品质。
Arjuna is not an ordinary person because he's an associate of Krishna.
Arjuna 他不是一个普通的人，因为他是 Krishna 的朋友。
Krishna.Is the Supreme Lord, and he's not going to associate with just anyone. Krishna is the Supreme Lord.
Krishna, 他是至尊人格所生，他不会随随便便跟任何人成为朋友的。
But he's associating with Arjuna. Arjuna is actually the son of Indra, the king of heaven.
然后他与 Arjuna 联谊，然后 Arjuna 他是
Indra
的儿子，是那个天。天地英雄的儿子。
So Arjuna is seeing these people on both sides of the army, and he's thinking, he has doubts whether or not he should take part in this battle.
所以当 Arjuna 看到这个战争双方他认识的那些人之后，他就开始怀疑他到底应不应该打这场仗。
His eyes become filled with tears.
他的眼睛里面充满了泪水。
Arjuna is known as Gudakesha.
Arjuna 被称为是 Gudakesha.
Gudakesha means conqueror of sleep.
也就是征服睡眠的人。
It also means one who can conquer over ignorance.
也是指一个可以征服这个愚昧的人。
Because Arjuna is in the association of Krishna, he can conquer ignorance.
因为Krishna 跟 Arjuna 在一起， Krishna 他能这个征服愚昧。
Wherever there is Krishna, there is no Maya, no ignorance.
所以无论什么地方，只要有 Krishna 在，那个地方就没有 Maya, 没有愚昧。
Krishna is like the sun.
Krishna 就像太阳。
Where there is sunlight, there is no darkness.
无论什么地方，它只要有太阳，就不会有黑暗。
So in the same way, where there is Krishna, there is no Maya, no ignorance.
所以同样的，只要有 Krishna 在这个地方，就不会有 Maya, 不会有愚昧。
So Arjuna is in the company of Krishna.
所以 Arjuna 跟 Krishna 在一起。
And he is so powerful. Arjuna is so powerful. He can conquer over sleep, and he can conquer ignorance.
所以 Arjuna 他非常的有力量，他甚至可以征服睡眠，可以征服愚昧。
But when he came into the middle of the battlefield, he became overwhelmed by compassion.
然后当 Arjuna 来到这个战场中间的时候，他被怜悯所吞没了。
He began to think that this battle is not proper. We shouldn't go ahead with this battle.
他开始想，这场战争可能是不恰当的，我们不应该打这场战争。
His body began to tremble, and his hair stood on end.
他的这个身体开始颤抖，他的这个毛发直竖。
Tears came in his eyes.
然后眼泪，这个他的这个眼睛里面涌出眼泪。
And he was carrying a very special bow, the Gandiva bow, and it began to fall from his hand.
他手上拿着一样非常这个特别的弓箭，那个弓箭叫做 Gandiva 弓，然后这个弓箭甚至从他的手上掉下去了。
Arjuna was very careful never to put his bow down.
Arjuna 他一向都非常小心，从来不会把他的弓箭就随便放下的。
But he was so overwhelmed with compassion that the bow was falling out of his hand.
但是他因为充满了怜悯，充满了同情，这个弓箭甚至从他手中滑落了。
He had vowed that if anybody ever told him to put down his Gandiva bow, he would kill them.
他曾经发过一个誓，就任何人只要敢告诉他，叫他把这个弓放下的话，他就会杀掉那个人。
One time there was an incident between Arjuna and his brother Yudhisthira.
就曾经在这个 Arjuna 和他的这个哥哥 Yudhisthira 之间曾经发生过一件事情。
During the battle of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhisthira was defeated in battle by Karna.
然后那有一次就是。Yudhisthira 国王他被他的对手 Karna 给打败了。
And Yudhisthira had to leave the battlefield to recover.
然后呢 Yudhisthira 就不得不逃离战场，然后以恢复体力。
And when Yudhisthira left the battlefield, then Arjuna was worried about him, and he came to see if he was all right.
然后当 Arjuna 看到 Yudhisthira 离开战场的时候，他对他的哥哥就非常的担心，他想去看看他的哥哥到底情况到底怎么样。
But it's a rule that Kshatriyas are not supposed to leave the battlefield.
但是有一条规则就是那个沙地里不应该随随便便离开战场的。
So when Arjuna came to see Yudhisthira thought that Arjuna must have defeated Karna.
然后当那个 Yudhisthira 看到 Arjuna 来看他的时候，他认为这个 Arjuna 一定是把那 Karna 给打败了。
Yudhisthira had been beaten by Karna.
因为 Yudhisthira 他本人被 Karna 给打败了。
So he thought Arjuna had taken revenge and defeated Karna.
所以他认为这个 Arjuna 一定是替他报了仇，把这个Karna 给打败了。
But Arjuna hadn't. He hadn't done anything about Karna. He just come to see his brother.
但是这个其实 Arjuna 他什么都没做，他根本都没有打败 Karna. 他只是回来这个看自己的哥哥。
So when Yudhisthira heard that Arjuna had just come to look after him and he had not fought with Karna, then Yudhisthira became angry at Arjuna.
所以，当这个 Yudhisthira 知道 Arjuna 回来只是为了看看自己、照顾自己，根本没有把那个 Karna 给打败，所以他就非常的生气。
And he said to Arjuna, "You're not worthy to carry that Gandiva bow. You could put that bow down."
然后他就对 Arjuna 说："他说你不配这个。"拿着这个冈底瓦弓，你应该把这个弓箭给放下。
When Arjuna heard that, he was going to kill his brother Yudhisthira.
所以当 Arjuna 听到这句话以后，他觉得非常的受到非常大的侮辱，他准备杀死自己的哥哥。
Yeah, he vowed, if anybody tells me to put down this bow, I will kill them.
因为他曾经发过这样的誓，任何人只要敢告诉我，叫我把这个弓给放下的话，我就要杀掉他。
So he was ready to even kill his own brother.
所以他甚至准备杀死自己的哥哥。
But Krishna was there, and Krishna would not let him.
That Krishna 当时在场，所以他不会让这样的事情发生的。
Krishna told him, he said, "He's your brother. You should not kill him. You can kill him by words, just by insulting him. That is like killing him."
他说，他对 Arjuna 说，他是你的哥哥，你 不应该真的把他杀死，但是你可以用这个语言侮辱他，这跟杀死他是一样的。
So then Arjuna began to speak nasty things to Yudhisthira.
所以呢 ，Arjuna 就是对他的这个哥哥 Yudhisthira 国王就说一些很难听的话。
He said, "This battle is all your fault."
他说这场战争都是你引起的。
Because you lost in the game of dice.
因为你自己在这个赌博游戏当中输了。
And you let our own wife be taken as a bet in the gambling match.
因为你把自己的妻子作为一个赌注。
It was all your fault that all of these things happened.
这一切之所以发生，这些事情都是你的错。
So then after he said all these things, then he bowed to the Maharaj Yudhisthira and he touched his feet.
然后当他说完这些话以后，他就向他的哥哥 Yudhisthira 顶拜，然后触碰他哥哥的脚。
And in this way he was excusing himself for saying these bad things.
这样的话他就是这个原谅了自己，就说了对他的哥哥说了这个这么难听的话。
But it allowed him to keep his vow that, you know, he vowed that anybody tells me to give up my boy, I will kill him. So he killed Yudhisthira by insulting.
所以他这样通过这样的方式，他其实也是间接的就是这个维持了自己的那个誓言，就他用这个言语就杀了他的哥哥。
And in this way, Arjuna was satisfied.
这样的话，就 Arjuna 他也得到满足了。
But here we see at the beginning of the battle, Arjuna himself is dropping his bow. He's not able to hold his own bow.
但是在这里我们可以看到，就 Arjuna 他自己，就是这个弓箭从他自己的手中给滑落了，他就弓箭都拿不住。
So Arjuna had so much compassion. He cared so much about other people.
Arjuna 他非常的有这个有非常有怜悯心，他对其他人非常的关心。
This is the nature of a Vaishnava.
这是外师那瓦的本性。
Just like we pray, we were offering our respects to the Vaishnavas, that we're full of compassion for all the fallen conditioned souls.
就好像就是我们这个奉献者的顶拜祷文里面说，就是那个一个外师那瓦是对堕落的灵魂是充满怜悯的。
So Arjuna is also feeling this compassion upon the people taking part in this battle.
So Arjuna 也是同样的对这个参加这场战争的人都感到非常的怜悯。
Arjuna understands how their hearts have been taken over by greed.
因为 Arjuna 理解就是那些人之所以要发起这场战争，是因为他们的心被这个贪婪给这个吞没了。都充满了贪婪。
They don't see any fault in killing their family or quarreling with friends.
因为他们看不到自己跟自己的家人争吵，跟朋友争吵。
But Arjuna says, "We can see the fault. I can see the fault in it. Why should I go ahead if I know it's wrong?"
然后 Arjuna 但是 Arjuna 他自己知道跟自己的这个家人、跟自己的这个亲人作战是不好的。那我为什么要打仗呢？
Arjuna is saying that if we fight against these people, then it's sinful.
Arjuna 认为，假设我跟这些人打仗的话，这是罪恶的。
What are we going to gain by killing these people who are our own kinsmen, our own relatives and friends?
就打仗，然后杀死自己的这个亲人，杀死自己的朋友，我们能赢得什么呢
？Now, according to Arthashastra, there are different scriptures in the Vedas. Some scriptures are called Arthashastra, which means they're concerned with economic development.
然后在这个伟大经典里面有很多不同的这个经典，那其中有一部分叫做
Arthashastra,
他们专门是跟这个经济发展有关的。
So it mentions there that if someone is an aggressor to you, if someone attacks you in different ways, then you can kill them.
在那部分经典里面说，就假设任何人他这个侵犯你来攻击你的话，那你就可以反击，可以把他杀死。
So there are the different types of aggressors and different types of attackers are mentioned.
然后在这个那部经典里面就提到了就不同种类的这个冒犯侵犯者。
First of all, if somebody gives you poison.
首先第一种就是那些给你下毒的人。
Somebody gives you poison, that person is your aggressor. You're entitled, you're justified to kill them.
假设有人给你下毒的话，那他就是你的这个侵犯者，那你有权利把他杀死。
Now, earlier, someone had given they had given poison cake to Bhima.
就是在这个战争之前，战争之前就有人就曾经把这个毒的蛋糕给那个 Bhima。
Bhima is known as Bricodar.
Bhima 叫做
Bricodar.
Means one who has a big appetite. They like to eat.
这个词的意思就是说，他胃口很大的人，他很喜欢吃东西的人。
So they, you know, the enemy of Bhima, this family of Dhritarashtra and his sons, they knew that Bhima likes to eat.
就是 Bhima 的这个敌人，就是他，就是那个 Dhritarashtra 的那个一百个儿子，他知道 Bhima 很喜欢吃东西。
So they wanted to kill him.
所以他们就想办法杀死 Bhima.
They knew Bhima is very strong. He's got great strength. They cannot beat him in battle.
他们知道这个 Bhima 他是非常的强壮，非常有力量，他们是不可能在战场上杀死打败 Bhima 的。
So find another way to kill him. We'll give him some poison.
所以他们就想了另外一个办法，就是给他下毒，毒死 Bhima.
They'll make a nice cake and put some poison in it.
他们做了一个非常好吃的这一个蛋糕，然后在里面加入一些毒药。
And when he sees the cake, he will eat the whole thing himself.
当他一看到这个蛋糕的时候，他就会把整个蛋糕一个人吃完。
And this way he'll be killed.
这样的话，那个比马就会被毒死了。
So they made this nice cake. They put the poison in it, and they gave it to Bhima.
所以他们就做了这个非常漂亮、非常好吃的一个蛋糕，然后这里面放了毒，然后把它给了比马。
Bhima immediately ate the whole thing.
然后比马一看到这个蛋糕，就立刻把这个蛋糕给吃完了。
And after eating the whole thing, immediately he fell unconscious.
然后当他吃完这个蛋糕以后，他马上就昏倒了。
The poison affected him and put him into an unconscious state, a deep sleep.
这个就是这个毒药就立刻就发挥作用，就让他陷入昏迷状态。
So then Duryodhana and his brothers, they thought, now Bhima's dead.
然后那个 Duryodhana 还有他的这个兄弟看到这个情形以后，他们就认为Bhima已经死了。
So they put his body in a lake.
所以他们就把他的这个尸体就扔到了一个湖里面。
Yeah. But in this lake there were many poison fish.
然后在这个湖里面有很多这个有毒的鱼。
Yeah. So his body was put into this lake where all these poison fish were there, and the poison fish, they all bit the body of Bhima.
然后当这个 Bhima 的身体被那个扔进那个湖里面的时候，那个有毒的那些鱼就开始咬那个 Bhima 的身体。
And the poison from the cake and the poison from the fish, they worked against each other.
然后那个结果，这个比马身体里面的那个毒素跟那个鱼里面的毒素，他们就抵消中和掉了。
Yeah, the two poisons neutralized, and then Bhima came back to consciousness.
然后这个结果，这个毒就这样被中和掉了。然后那个比马又对就解毒，然后以毒攻毒就是，然后比马又重新又醒过来。
So Bhima, you know, this was an aggression, an act of aggression against, an act of violence against Bhima.
所以这是那个Duryodhana 对 Bhima 的一个侵犯。
And they had a right to kill Duryodhana for this action.
所以因为他们对 Bhima 做了这样的侵犯，所以那个 Pandavabhu 兄弟有权利杀死那个Duryodhana。
Now another type of aggressor is one if somebody sets fire to your house. So Duryodhana and his brothers had a special house built for the Pandavas.
所以杜月朗和他的这个兄弟们就曾经为那个潘道武兄弟建造了一座宫殿。
And this house was made with material which would burn very quickly and very easily.
就是那些房子的这个材料都是由非常容易燃烧的那些材料所做成的。
You know, usually when you build a house, you want to build it with things which will not burn.
就是通常你们造房子的时候都是用的材料都是那些不容易着火、不容易起火的那些材料做的。
But they built this special palace for them, and built it in special material which would burn very easy.
所以那个杜月朗就为潘道武兄弟建造了一座非常特别的这个宫殿，这个。宫殿就是用一些特别的材料做成的，这些材料就很容易着火。
So they invited Pandavas that this palace is for you. Please, your family all go and live there.
所以他们就邀请了潘道武兄弟，他说这个宫殿是专门给你们建造的，请你们住在这里吧。
But the Pandavas understood that this is a trap. We have to be very careful.
对，帕拉武兄弟他非常了解，这是一个陷阱，我们要非常的小心。
嗯。So while they were there, secretly they built a tunnel to get out of the house.
啊，所以当他们待在这宫殿里面的时候，他们就偷偷的就挖了一个地下的通道，然后可以逃离这个宫殿。
So one night there was a big storm.
就有一天晚上就发生了一个很大的一个暴风雨。
And while they were living in that house, another lady came, an old lady came with her 5 sons.
然后在他们住在房间里面的时候，住在这个宫殿里面的时候，就另外一个女士就带着她的五个儿子，就也进入了这个宫殿里面。
Now Pandavas, they were also 5 brothers, and they were living in that house with their mother.Kunti.
然后那个帕拉巴五兄他们也是五个兄弟，然后跟他们的母亲昆蒂皇后住在一起。
And then this old lady came with her 5 sons, and they also wanted to live there to get shelter from the storm.
然后因为那天就发生了这个很大的这个狂风暴雨，所以有一个年老的一个妇女，她就带着自己的五个儿子也进入了那个宫殿里面就避雨。
But that was the same night.Their house got set on fire.
在同一天晚上的话，就是那个卢约旦就放火烧了那个宫殿。
Pandavas and their mother Kunti, they managed to escape.
然后潘达瓦还有昆蒂皇后，他们就设法就通过这个地下的通道，他们就逃出了那个宫殿。
But that old lady with her 5 sons, they were killed in the fire.
但是那个年老的那个妇女跟她的五个儿子就被烧死，就被这个大火给烧死了。
So after the house was burned down, they came to look and they found the skeletons of 5 young men and 1 old lady.
所以当这个火这个烧灭了以后，他们就是卢月亮，他们就过来看这个情况，结果他们找到了一个这个年老的这个老年妇女的一个尸体，还有那个五个这个年轻。男人的尸体。
So they thought, oh, the Pandavas and their mother have all died in the fire.
他们就以为这个帕拉五兄弟还有他们的母亲都已经在这场大火当中被烧死了。
So they were feeling, inside they were feeling very happy.
他们就心里面就觉得非常的高兴。
But externally, like, oh, very sad.
但是表面上他们又装出非常伤心的样子。
So at that time, the Pandavas, they were living secretly, that nobody knew that they were alive.
所以这样的话，就是潘达五兄弟他们就秘密的这个活在一个地方，没有人知道他们还活着。
And it was shortly after that that Arjuna won the archery contest to get Draupadi for his wife.
发生这些事情不久之后，就 Arjuna 就赢得了一场这个射箭的一个比赛，然后就获得了他的妻子。
And then after that, then they came. They revealed themselves that they were still alive.
然后在这之后的话，就他们就重新就暴露了自己的身份，就让别人知道他们还活着。
And then Duryodhana and his brothers were all disappointed that they're still alive.
对，Duryodhana和他的这个兄弟们就非常的这个失望。
So then another act of aggression. If one attacks you with deadly weapons.
另外一类这个冒犯者的侵犯者的话，就是他们用致命的武器攻击你。
If one plunders riches, one takes all your wealth.
另外一个就是这个欺骗，就用欺骗手段把你的这个财产全部的拿走。
Or one takes your land.
或者是侵占了你的土地。
Or if one takes your wife.
或有人这个抢了你的妻子。
Yeah. Now all of these things had happened to the Pandavas.
所以所有这些这个事情都发生在这个潘达瓦五兄弟的身上。
During the gambling match, they lost all their wealth.
所以在那场赌博当中，他们就失去了自己所有的财产。
Now the gambling match was not fair. It was all rigged. It was cheating. They had special dice which were loaded so that they could win every time.
所以那场那个赌博的比赛事实上是不公平的，他们用这种。特殊的骰子，然后他们注定是要输的。
And in this way, they took all the wealth of the Pandavas.
就通过这样的方式，就那个夺了，他就拿走了潘达五兄弟的所有的财富。
Then they took all the land.
也拿走了他们所有的这个土地。
And then they said, "What about your wife? Why don't you bet your wife? You still have a wife."
然后最后他们说啊，那你的妻子呢？你们还有一个妻子。
And then they lost their wife also, and then he took their wife.
然后那个最后他们把自己的妻子也给输掉了。
So this way, these sons of Dhritarashtra, headed by Duryodhana, they had acted as aggressors in all the six different ways.
所以就刚刚我们提到了，总共有这个六种这个冒犯，六种冒犯，六种侵犯。所以那个如月亮对这个潘道五兄弟做了所有这六种冒犯。
So according to the Arthashastras, you have a right to kill these people.
所以根据的 Arthashastra 的上面的这个上面所说的就是你有权利杀死这样的人。
Yeah, according to the principles of economic development, that if somebody takes all your property and these different things, then you have a right to kill them.
就根据这个经济发展的这个规则的话，就有人假设拿走你的这个土地啊、财产啊等等。
But Arjuna is not thinking about, he's not caring about economic principles.
但是 Arjuna 他不太关心自己的这个经济状况。
He's thinking more in terms of Dharma Shastra, religious scriptures.
他更多的是从这个灵性经典的角度出发思考问题。
He's thinking, what would we gain by killing these people?
他在想，假设我杀死这些人的话，我能获得什么呢？
If they want to take our wealth or our land or even our wife, they want to take these things, then what can I do to stop them? Let them.
假设他们想要拿着我的财富，拿着我的土地等等，我能做什么呢？我不想阻止他们。
So in this way, Arjuna is arguing again. He's thinking, why should I fight these people?
所以 Arjuna 也通过这样的方式来跟那个 Krishna 争辩，那我为什么要跟这些人打仗呢？
Arjuna is giving different reasons why he doesn't want to fight.
Arjuna 给出了这个不同的理由，他说明来说明他为什么不想作战。
There's all of this money and property and reputation. It's not so important. It's not worth killing people for.
他说所有这些这个金钱也好，名誉也好啊，等等这些东西都不太重要，就不值得为了这些事情而杀死那些人。
Now he gives another reason. He says that if we will take part in this battle and kill people, it will destroy the family tradition.
然后他。又另外给出了另一个理由，就是假设我们参加上战争，杀死所有这些人，这样的话就会毁坏我们的这个家庭传统。
Yeah, the family tradition is we should give worship to the ancestors.
就家庭传统的话，就我们应该崇拜我们的祖先。
But if all the men in the family die, there'll be no one to do the worship of the ancestors.
假设家族里面的所有的男人都被杀死的话，就没有人就可以再去崇拜自己的祖先了。
And the women will not be protected.
这样的话，妇女就受不了保护。
And if the women are not protected, then they will be exploited. They will be taken advantage of.
当这个妇女没有受到保护的时候，她们就会被人利用，被人剥削。
Because women are the weaker sex.
因为这个在两性当中，女性是比较弱的。
They can easily be misled. They can easily be taken advantage of by unfair men.
所以他们很容易被误导，很容易被那些那个不好的男人给这个利用。
And if women are taken advantage of by these men, the result will be there will be unwanted children.
所以当这个妇女被那些不品性不良的男人给利用了之后，最后的得到的结果就是要不得的这个孩子，要不得的。
We see this it's a common phenomena in the world today.
在今天这个世界上，这是一个很常见的、很普通的一个现象。
That women are not given proper protection.
就妇女没有受到这个恰当的保护。
And they get a child, and the man doesn't want to take proper care of the child.
所以最后他们最后那个他们就生下了孩子，然后这个男人又不想要那个孩子，所以他们就得不到这个很好的照顾。
And they don't take care of they don't want to take care of the child and they don't want to look after the woman also.
所以这些男人他们就既不想照顾那个孩子，也不想照顾那个妇女。
So Arjuna is concerned that if we fight and all of these soldiers are killed.There'll be so many women unprotected.
所以 Arjuna 他非常的担心，假设这个发生战争的话，这么多的这个战士都被杀死了，那就会有很多的妇女得不到保护。
Yeah, there'll be so many women become widows, and these men will also have their daughters. There'll be daughters also, no one to look after them.
这样的话就会有很多的这个很多的很多人很多妇女就会变成寡妇，然后那些战士他们也有自己的女儿，他们女儿也是没有人保护。
And this will create hell in the world.
这样的话就会这个为这个世界就带来了地狱般的景象。
And there will be no one to do the religious ceremonies also.
那也没有人会做举行这个宗教仪式。
So Arjuna questions that it is strange. He said, Arjuna says it's strange. We are prepared to do these sinful acts. We're prepared to fight and kill all these people just because we have the desire to enjoy a big kingdom.
So Arjuna 他就提出了疑问，他说，仅仅就是为了享受一个很大的一个王国，就我们进而准备杀死这些所有这些亲人，所有这些朋友。
So Arjuna says, it will be, he said, I would prefer that if the sons of Dhritarashtra, if they simply come and kill me, I don't want to fight them.
他说，假如那个 Dhritarashtra 的儿子就，就是独眼狼，他们想要杀死，想要在战场上杀死我的话，我不会做任何的防卫，我就让他们杀死好了。
And in this way, Arjuna sat down on his chariot, he sat down with eyes, tears in his eyes, and he was overwhelmed with grief.
So, 这样的话，就阿尔最后就坐了下来，然后他的眼睛里面充满了泪水，然后心里面充满了悲伤。
So, this compassion of Arjuna is very good quality.
所以阿尔贾纳的这种怜悯的心态是非常好的一个品质。
But the compassion has to be properly directed.
但是我们的这个怜悯应该这个用在正确的事情上。
Just like if somebody has a disease of cholera, then
cholera, 混乱。
If someone gets cholera, it's a very terrible disease, and if you get it, then they will tell you, don't eat anything for a week or 2 weeks. You should not take any solid food. You should only take glucose, tang shui.
假设有人得了这个霍乱，霍乱是一个非常这个严重的、非常可怕的一个疾病。那对于得了霍乱的人，你应该告诉他，你这个一个星期或两个星期都不应该吃固体的食物，就应该吃一些这个汤水这样的食物。
But when the person's got that disease and you can't eat anything, you know, maybe he's your friend. You come to see them and they say, "I'm so hungry. I want to eat something. Give me something to eat."
所以假设这个有一个人他得了霍乱以后，就他的朋友去看他的话，他可能会向他朋友说，我非常的饿，能不能给我一些东西吃。
And the doctor said, don't eat anything, don't give him anything to eat.
然后这个医生就会告诉他，他说不要让他吃任何东西，不要给他任何东西。
If you eat, it will make the disease much worse.
假设他吃东西的话，会让这个病情变得更加严重。
In China, sometimes you have this disease.
在中国可能 有些地方有些人就会得这种疾病。
In India, quite common.
在印度是很常见的这个霍乱。
Very dangerous. You have to be in hospital and don't take any food.
就这个是非常危险的一种疾病，你必须要住院，然后不应该吃任何的东西。
But if you say, bring me some food, don't tell the doctor, just give me the food.
然后这个病人可能就会跟他的朋友说，他你不要告诉医生，请你给我一些东西吃，我真的很饿。
So you want to, you're thinking, well, I should be compassionate. It's my friend. I should give them some food.
这个时候你可能会想，我应该是对他我应该是对他很怜悯，他是我的朋友，我应该给他一些东西吃。
But if you give food, you make the disease worse.
假设你真的给他东西吃的话，你会让他的病情更加加重。
They can die, or they'll never recover.
他们说不定就这样就死去了，从来就永远都活不过，恢复过。无法恢复。
But we're thinking, oh, he's hungry. Let me give him some food.
假设你想，他很饿，让我给他一些食物吧。
That is not compassion.
所以这个并不是真正的同情，真正的怜悯。
Not proper compassion.
不是这个恰当的怜悯。
Just like, if somebody has some infection on the skin, some boil or something, and the doctor say, I'll take the knife and cut it.
对，就好像有人假如患了得了一些皮肤病，他身上起了长了一些疹子等等，那医生可能就会说，我会用这个手术刀把它切下来。
And the, no, no, please, please don't cut me.
然后那个病人肯定会说，不要这个 把我的这个肉给割下来。
But the doctor said, "No, I'll just cut you, but you'll get better quicker."
然后医生就会说，我只是把你这个感染的地方给切下来，你会这样，你会恢复得更快。
But you say, "No, no, please, please."
然后他就说，不要，不要。
So the doctor is being compassionate by taking the knife and cutting.
但是医生最后还是用这个手术刀把他的这个伤口给割下来，这事实上才是真正的同情，真正的怜悯。
If we give charity to a person, and the person takes the money to go and buy drugs or to buy alcohol intoxication,
假设我们给一个人布施，然后这个人用这个你布施给他的钱去买这个毒品，去买酒等等。
That is not compassion.
这个并不是同情。
It is not proper use of compassion.
这个不是对同情的这个正确的运用。
We have to learn what is proper compassion.
我们必须要学习什么才是恰当的同情。
So Arjuna is feeling compassion for the people about to fight in this battle of Kurukshetra.
所以 Arjuna 对于那些即将参加库鲁切特拉这场战争的人感到非常的同情。
He's thinking, "No, I don't want to fight. That we will kill so many people. So many people will die. This is not good."
他在想，我不想杀死这些人。这场战争将会杀死那么多的人，我不想这么做。
But Krishna will tell Arjuna that even if you don't fight, they're all going to die.
然后 Krishna 接下来会告诉 Arjuna， 他就算你不打这场战争，他们这些人也是要死的。
You're not responsible for their death.You are simply an instrument in my service.
这你并不用为他们的死亡而负责，你只是这个一个为我做服务的一个工具而已。
So Krishna will explain to Arjuna proper use of compassion.
所以 Krishna 就会向 Arjuna 解释这个怎么样正确的、恰当的运用同情。
So this first chapter is setting the scene for the speaking of the Bhagavad Gita.
所以这个第一章，这个《薄伽梵歌》的第一章就是为Krishna 讲述整部《薄伽梵歌》做了一个铺垫。
Krishna has brought Arjuna. Krishna has created the situation for Arjuna to develop this feeling of not wanting to fight in the battle.
就整个这个情景都是 Krishna 他创造出来的，就是目的是。为了让 Arjuna 产生这种不想作战的这样一种心态，
just so that Krishna can speak the Bhagavad Gita.
这样的话，就 Krishna 才有机会向 Arjuna 讲述《薄伽梵歌》。
This Bhagavad Gita is meant for all of us, for all of our benefit.
这个《薄伽梵歌》是给我们每一个人看的，每一个人聆听的。
To help us to understand how we can do our duty and how we can make proper, we can show proper compassion.
就帮助我们了解，就是我们应该怎么样履行自己的职责，怎么样这个恰当的运用我们的同情。
Proper use of compassion is to give people Bhagavad Gita, let them read it for themselves.
就对别人的这个恰当的同情，就是给他们《薄伽梵歌》这本书，然后让他们读这本书。
We should also read it ourselves.
然后我们自己也应该读。
And try to appreciate this message of Lord Krishna.
要好好的欣赏就Krishna 所讲述的这个讯息。
Any question?
大家有问题吗？
They just start.
那个 Krishna 那个奉献者阿俊呢，他刚刚说到啊，就是以那个有同情心还有慈悲心著名的，那他为什么又那个人家那个建议他扔掉他的那个他的工具，他就要把他杀掉，就被人感觉好像一个拳击运动员啊，一边去打拳击一边说我不忍心看他们受伤，会不会有一些那个这样的
Can you ask that?
No.
He asked that just like what you said, Arjuna is very compassionate. Yeah, he's very compassionate. Why he want to kill the person who tell him that to drop down the ball? This is like a boxer who is fighting with his opponent and saying that I don't want to hurt you. So this is very contradictory.
Well, Arjuna had made a vow If somebody tells him to put down the ball, he would kill them. So he was simply killing him by insulting him. By insulting him, it was also like killing someone.
但是他那个，其实那个阿尔约纳他并不是真的杀掉那个人，他只是侮辱对方，然后跟这个侮辱对方跟杀掉他是一样。
Because they're on the same side, they're brothers.
因为那个阿尔约纳跟尤迪斯蒂尔他们是兄弟，他们是在同一方的。
Krishna was instructing Arjuna how to keep his vow.
是 Krishna 他亲自教导 Arjuna 他怎样才能保持自己的誓言。
There was no need to kill him.
就没有必要真的杀死自己的哥哥。
But sometimes words spoken are even more painful than death.
有时候就是一些不好的话，甚至比死亡更让人痛苦。
这个国家梵歌有时候就练自己看起来都很难去弄明白，然后如果再配给别人的话，很多人我看这本书的时候，很多人说，哎呀，这么厚这么深奥的书你也看，你能看得懂吗？我刚开始看就很吃力，但是我还是慢慢读下去，但是读了两三页，一章二章之后，我好像又没有耐心再读下去。
So she
continued to, because this is this book is too deep for her to read.
Well, every one should kaitong nan.
Why should kaitong nan?
You have to continue. In the beginning, it's difficult. Why? Because we are materialistic.
就刚开始的时候是确实很难读懂这本书，因为我们都是物质主义者。
Just like the example is given, when you have jaundice, you cannot taste the sweetness of sugar cane.
就好像有那个胖胖的曾经举过个例子，就是假设有人得了黄疸病的话，就他吃糖是吃不到甜味的。You
have to keep chewing the sugar cane, and then gradually as you get better, you can taste the sweetness.
这样的话，你应该继续吃那个甘蔗，慢慢的话，你就会尝到甘蔗的味道。
So, the same way with Bhagavad Gita, you have to keep reading it, and gradually it will start to mean more to you. You will understand it better.
所以同样的，这个《薄伽梵歌》也是一样。当你刚开始读不懂的话，你继续读，当你读的越多，你就理解的就会越多。Even
though, there's a story about the young boy reading the Bhagavad Gita, and he was reading, his grandfather was also reading. But then the young boy says, you know, I can't read it, I can't understand, I don't remember anything, I keep forgetting, I can't understand it.
就是有个例子，就是有一个小孩跟他的这个爷爷两个人一起在读这个《薄伽梵歌》，然后那个小孩就对他的爷爷说，他说我什么都读不懂，我上面什么都不懂，然后读了马上就忘了。
So then the grandfather says, you know, that they had one, they were in some cold place, and they were burning fuel, burning coal to keep warm, and there was one bag which they kept the coal
in.
They lived in a cold place,
a
cold plant. They were burning coal to keep warm,
yeah.
And there was a bag which kept the coal in. They kept
a bag. 就是，然后那个他的爷爷就给他的孙子就打了一个比方，就他们是住在一个很寒冷的一个地方，冬天的话用烧煤，然后才能取暖。 然后那个房间里面就放了一个袋子，这个袋子是装煤用的。So
there was no more coal left in the bag.
所以烧到后来的话，这个袋里面，这个口袋里面的这个煤都烧完了。And
the grandfather said, "Take this bag." He said, "I want you to go and bring water."
然后那个他的爷爷就告诉那个小孩，他说，你用这个袋子去装一些水。
So they had the to get the water. The boy had to go quite a distance. He had to go down a hill.
然后为了这个取水的话，就是那个小孩必须要这个下山要走很长一段路才能取到水。
So when he came back, there was no water left in the bag. All the water had run out.
所以当那小孩这个取了水，然后又回到家里的时候，这个水都已经漏光了。
So the grandfather said to him, "You have to go again. Go quicker."
然后那个他的爷爷就告诉那个小孩，他说：“你再去，这一次你走得快一点。
”And still he came back.Still, there was no water. All the water had run out the bag.
所以第二次他又去取水的时候，最后又是一滴水都没剩下，那个水都漏光了，在路上。
So he said, "Try again. Go one more time. Try."
然后呢，他的爷爷就再要他的小孩，他说：“你再去试一次。
”And then he came back the third time. Still no water. He threw the bag on the ground and said, "I don't think it's possible."
然后第三次还是一滴水都没剩下，然后最后那个小孩又很生气，他说。我不相信这个口袋可以达到水。
But then they said, the grandfather said, "Look at the bag now. See how clean the bag has become."
然后这个时候，那个爷爷就告诉那个小孩说：“现在你看看这个袋，这个口袋现在已经变得多么干净了。
”And he said, "The same way. You read the Bhagavad Gita. You don't understand much. You don't remember anything. But you clean your heart."
就同样的，就是我们读《般若梵歌》也是一样。好像表面上看起来你好像都什么都没记住，什么都没理解，但是你的心意已经是慢慢得到净化了。
Just by reading Bhagavad Gita，
就光是通过这个阅读《般若梵歌》。
So in the beginning it seems difficult, but if you just keep continuing, if you're determined, gradually you will start to understand.
刚开始《般若梵歌》可能会很难读，但是只要你坚持有这个决心，一直不断读下去的话。你会慢慢就会明白里面在说什么。
And we will have some courses. We can arrange some courses so that you can get proper study.
我们也可以安排一些这个专门的《般若梵歌》的课程，然后你可以得到，可以学习这些课程。
Proper instructions and teaching material, then you can understand.
然后学一些这个恰当的这个训示，还有那些教学的材料，这样你就会理解的更多。
就是我们在看《般若梵歌》的时候，好像很多问题就是阿尔顿的问题，与我们自己好像没关系。我的意思是说，怎样用这个《般若梵歌》，把这个《般若梵歌》当作一面镜子，照见我们自己的问题，而不是阿尔顿的问题。这样我们就以后跟空性的相处啊，内心的问题啊，都能看得更清楚。
Well, if you have questions, you know that is.Good, you know, Arjuna, he's putting questions on our behalf. You have more questions, so you can bring them up in discussion with devotees.
So, Arjuna, he has a lot of questions. And Krishna gave you the answer. If you have more questions, if you have more questions, then you can ask these questions and discuss them with other devotees.
Prabhupada liked the devotees to have questions, and it's expected. You intelligent people read these books, they will have more questions.
So, Prabhupada, 这个Prabhupada 说，就聪明的人肯定会有很多的问题。那当我们读《般若梵歌》的时候，就真正读《般若梵歌》的时候，你肯定会碰到很多的问题，更多的问题。
Yeah, I have a lot of questions too.
就是Maharaj 他也有很多的问题。
I have more questions now than I had in the beginning.
所以他。他现在的问题比刚开始的问题更多。
It's the nature of Krishna consciousness that we become more and more inquisitive.
所以这个 Krishna 意识的这个性质就是这样的，你会越来越多的这个探寻更多的问题。
As you study these books, as you study Bhagavad Gita, as you chant Hare Krishna, then you'll start to have more inquiry, make more inquiries, want to understand more.
当你随着你这个阅读《般若梵歌》，随着你念诵 Hare Krishna， 你会这个会逐渐的问更多的问题。
At the same time, you can never understand everything.
就话又说回来，就是你永远都不可能这个了解所有的事情。
Because this is transcendental knowledge.
因为这是一个灵性的知识。
So there's no limit to how it can be explained and understood.
所以灵性的知识它是无限的，你永远都是学不完的。
And every time you read it, you have more questions.
所以你
new questions.
所以你每读一次都会有更多的问题，更多的问题。
That is the business of devotees, is questions and answers.
就是我们奉献者要做的事情，就是问题这个问与答，就是不断的提问，不断的回答。
Srimad Bhagavatam is also questions and answers.
这个圣地伯耀瓦它也是问题和回答。
But all in relation to Krishna. These questions and answers are all in relation to Krishna.
所以这些问题和回答都是跟 Krishna 有关的。
Are there different angles of vision by which everything can be understood? There's different ways of seeing everything.
Yeah, 就是对所有的事情我们都有不同的这个看法。
Just like Shankaracharya, he explains Bhagavad Gita in one way, and the Vaishnava Acharyas explain Bhagavad Gita in another way.
就好像 Shankaracharya 他以他的方式来这个解释《般若梵歌》，然后那个 Vaishnava 里面的 Acharya 他们又用自己的方式来解释。
The Vaishnava Acharyas, they explain through their disciplic succession.
然后 Vaishnava Acharya 他们是根据这个使徒传系来这个解释般若梵歌。
So it's good, you have questions. You can write down your questions, and then next time we meet with all the devotees, you can bring up your questions.
你有问题是很好的事情。当你有问题的时候，你可以把这个问题写下来，然后当跟奉献者在一起的时候，你可以把这些问题提出来，然后大家一起讨论。
Devotees are happy when you know you come up when you bring up nice questions.
所以当你能够提出很好的问题的时候，这个其他的奉献者也是会很高兴。
What is your questions?
Hey, 你有什么问题？具体的问题，具体的疑问。
我的意思是说，怎样学习这门国家梵歌，更好的学习它，然后用到自己的实际生活和行为当中，而不是他只是看到阿娟那里你有阿娟那是主人公，应该是把我们自己当主人公，自己的问题，然后就说自己的行为。
How we can apply Bhagavad Gita in our practical life?
Well, just like Arjuna, he surrendered to Krishna.
就像 Arjuna 一样，就是他完全的向 Krishna 皈依。
The application of the Bhagavad Gita. That's what Bhagavad Gita is not just a book of philosophy. It's a book to apply the knowledge.
所以最后的这个，所以皈依就是这个真正的这个运用。就《般若梵歌》不只是一门这个哲学，不只是一本哲学的书，它是一门
a book of knowledge we can apply.
而是一个就要我们实际运用的一本书。
Just like it talks about the mode of goodness and the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance.
就好像在《般若梵歌》里面有提到了这个善良属性、激情属性和愚昧属性。
So we're recommended to come up to the mode of goodness and even transcend goodness.
所以我们就是要，怕怕的就鼓励我们要至少要达到这个善良层面、善良属性的层面。
And then transcend even more the goodness.
然后是超人的善良属性，然后要超越善良属性。
By engaging in devotional service.
就通过做奉爱服务，你可以最终可以超越善良属性。
And devotional service is described. You know what is devotional service? That is also described.
然后在《般若梵歌》里面也描述了这个奉爱服务。
The most confidential knowledge is to think of Krishna.
就是最机密的知识，就是永远的这个记住 Krishna， 意念 Krishna。
Just like Krishna is saying to Arjuna, give up all other material things, materially motivated things, and surrender to me。
就好像这个 Krishna 直接对 Arjuna 所说的，就放弃你所有的这个物质的动机、物质的这个财富等等，完全的向我皈依。
When we surrender to Krishna, then that means we're going to engage ourselves fully in devotional service.
然后向 Krishna 皈依的意思就是完全的投入到奉爱服务里面去。
There are different levels of surrender. Krishna describes the yoga ladder.
然后这个皈依它有不同的阶段、不同的层次。然后他就专门 Krishna 就专门解释了这个瑜伽阶梯。
the yoga ladder, karma yoga, jnana yoga, bapu yuja, astanga yoga, and then bhakti yoga.
Just karma yoga, jnana yoga, 四遍瑜伽, 行动瑜伽, 然后上去是八步瑜伽, 然后是 bhakti, 后来瑜伽。
And even karma kanda, below karma yoga is also mentioned. Karma kanda.
然后在那个行动瑜伽, karma yoga 下, 在 第一层的这个 karma kanda 也提到了
karma kanda 功利性活动
功利性活动
So all of these things are explained in the Bhagavad Gita. We can understand what level are we acting on.
然后所以这些事情在《博伽梵歌》里面都有解释 这样的话我们就可以明白我们是在处在什么样的层面上
Krishna is explaining first of all about who we are to understand ourselves as a soul not as a body to transcend the body consciousness.
就Krishna一开始就解释了我们是谁，就是讲说我们是灵魂，就要超越这个躯体化的概念。
And then we can understand Krishna.
这样的话我们就能够了解Krishna.
We're given a lot of information about Krishna and his different energies.
然后就里面描述了很多有关Krishna的信息, Krishna有不同的能量。
Without understanding Krishna's energies, we will not be able to appreciate Krishna's pastimes.
假设我们不理解就Krishna的能量的话, 我们就无法欣赏Krishna的逍遥时光。
We have to hear the Bhagavad Gita first before we hear Krishna's pastimes.
就是在我们聆听这个Krishna的逍遥时光之前, 我们先应该聆听《博伽梵歌》。
And appreciate Krishna that he's not an ordinary person.
然后那个可以真正的欣赏Krishna, 他不是一个普通的人。
And in this way, then we can develop more feeling of devotion for Krishna.
这样的话，我们就有对这个奉爱服务, 对Krishna做奉爱服务就会有更多的感觉。
So this is applying the Bhagavad Gita.
所以这个就是对这个《博伽梵歌》的这个运用。
Many people read the Bhagavad Gita, but they never try to apply it.
就很多人他只是读《博伽梵歌》, 但从来都不会用《博伽梵歌》。
They're not vegetarian.
他们不是素食者。
They don't live in the mode of goodness.
他们不是活在善良属性里面。
They're only in the bodily consciousness of life.
他们只是拥有这个躯体化的意识。
And they think Bhagavad Gita is a nice book.
他们却认为《博伽梵歌》是一本很好的书。
Nice poetry. Nice poetry, nice philosophy.
是一个很好的诗歌。
Nice philosophy.
很好的哲学。
But they don't try to apply it.
但他们不会试着去应用《博伽梵歌》。
They don't surrender to Krishna.
他们不向Krishna皈依。
刚刚林信导师说到，如果我们提一个很好的问题的话，可以取悦奉献者。那因为要如果我们提一个不好的问题的话，也让奉献不高兴。还有一个薛爸爸也说，因为我一旦不说话之前，别人不知道他是傻瓜，所以有时候我们会担心啊，我们提这个问题，是不是傻瓜，或者那个，提了以后那个奉献不高兴的话，会有这种假象的。那我们应该怎么去掉这些？ 应该怎么样提一个很好的问题，也去掉我们这些假象了。You
have to have intelligence.
首先你要有智慧。
Prabhupada explains in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 34, that a devotee's business is to put questions.
Chapter 4.
Yeah.
就帕帕在《博伽梵歌》的第四章第三十四个世界里面，就要旨里面就有提到，一个奉献者的这个事情就是提问题。But
they should not put questions in a challenging manner.
但是不应该怀着这个挑战的心态提问题。And
neither should they put foolish questions.
也不应该问一些愚蠢的问题。Challenging
questions.
挑战性的问题,
like somebody may say, can God make a stone so heavy that even he can't lift it? Can Krishna make a stone so heavy even he cannot lift it?
Yeah, 就是像有些人可能会提出这样的问题, 就 Krishna 能不能造出一个很重的石头, 连他重的连他自己都搬不动。<笑><笑>
This is a challenging question.
这就是一个挑战性的问题。
Person who puts a question like that, he has to go back to the beginner's class.
所以假设有人提出了这个问题的话，他应该回到那个初级的那个课堂里面去。他应该降到那个初学者的课堂里面去。
And learn how to put good questions.
然后学会怎么样问好的问题。
把他带去幼儿园上课。
This book is called Bhojja Fan, and in the Buddhist scripture, there are also the words like Bhojja Fan. They are the same thing.
Yeah. Same thing. I met one lady before. She also had gone to the Buddhist temple, and the Buddhist monk, because one of her family members died. So she went starting to go to the Buddhist temple, and one of the monks there gave her a scripture, a Buddhist scripture to read.
A devotee.
Yeah.
就有一个奉献者，就他的一个亲人死了，然后在庙里面做法事这样，然后呢，庙里面一个和尚就给了一本这个佛经让他看。
So she was reading this scripture and was always talking about Bhojja Fan, Bhojja Fan.
所以当她看这本佛经的时候，这个里面经常看到这个Bhojja Fan这三个字。
So she always wondered, who is this Bhojja Fan? What is Bhojja Fan?
所以她就想了，什么是Bhojja Fan? Bhojja Fan 到底是什么怎么回事？
And then she got Bhagavad Gita.
那后来她就看到了这个Bhojja Fan的这本书。
And then she learned about Bhojja Fan.
所以她就了解了Bhojja Fan是什么。
That's Krishna.
Bhojja Fan就是 Krishna.
Bhojja Fan means one who possesses opulences.
Bhojja Fan 的意思就是那个财富的拥有者。
It means there, and this is defined by a great sage, Parashara Muni.
所以这个定义是有一个伟大的一个圣人 Parashara Muni 他所给出的。
He says there are six opulences.
他说这个Bhojja Fan的意思就是拥有六项财富的人。
Wealth. First of all, wealth.
首先第一个是财富
then fame
然后是名声
then beauty
然后是美貌
knowledge
知识
strength
力量
and then renunciation
最后是气绝拥有着六项财富的人
so one who is Bhagavan Bhojja Fan he will possess his six opulences
所以一个这个Bhojja Fan的意思就是拥有着六项财富的人
so we all have a little of these opulences
我们只是拥有这些财富当中的这个一小部分
Some have a little more than others.
有些人拥有的稍微多一点
But Krishna has these to the greatest extent.
然后在 Krishna 在这个六项财富他是这个拥有的是无限的
He has unlimited wealth, fame, knowledge, beauty, strength, renunciation.
他有无限的财富无限的名声无限的知识无限的美貌无限的气绝无限的力量
Nobody can compete with him.
没有人可以跟他竞争。
You know, there are famous men, they're very famous, but nobody is as famous as Krishna.
对，这个世界上有很多人非常的有名，但是没有人跟 Krishna 一样有名。
Krishna is famous for 5,000 years.
Krishna 已经有名了，这个他的名声已经传播了五千年。
He spoke Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago.
他在五千年之前就讲述了《Bhojja Fan》歌。
And his fame did not begin just 5,000 years ago.
而且他的名声不仅仅只是开始于五千年之前。
And he spoke Bhagavad Gita in 2 hours.
然后他在两个小时之内就讲完了整部《国家梵歌》。
We're studying for many, many years.
我们要花很多很多年才能学完。
And he has great strength.
他有非常大的力量。
When he's 8 years old, he can pick up a mountain with a little.
当他八岁的时候，用他的这个小拇指就能举起一座大山。
And he doesn't grow old.
他也不会变老。
He's always good looking.
他永远都是美丽的。
And he is also renounced.
他也非常的气绝。
He's not proud of his opulence.
他从来都不会为自己的财富感到骄傲。
If we have a little opulence, we become very proud.
当我们拥有一点一些什么一些一点点富裕的时候，我们就会变得很骄傲。
We think we're better than others.
我们就觉得自己比别人要好。
But Krishna is all, he's always renounced.
Krishna 他永远都是弃绝。
He's not attached to any of these things.
他从来都不依附所有这些财富。
Because everything is his, he does not have to own anything.
因为所有的一切都是他的，所以他 无需要。没有没有，就不需要拥有什么东西。
No, this is mine.
这是我的。
We're attached to it. It's mine. I bought it.
就我们会依附我们自己的东西，这个东西是我买的。
But Krishna, everything is Krishna's. He doesn't have to get any. He doesn't have to own, buy anything or own anything. It's all his.
因为但是所有的一切都是属于 Krishna， 本来就已经是属于 Krishna， 所以他不需要。买什么东西不需要拥有什么东西
it all comes from
一切都是来自于 Krishna。
So this is Bhujapa.
This is 这就是 Bhujapa.
It comes from the Sanskrit word Bhagavan.
Bhujapan 这个词就 来自那个梵文的 Bhujapan.
Just like
Bhagavan.
Mantolo
就好像是曼陀罗
comes from mantra.
就来自梵文 mantra。
Mantra means man means a mind and tra means to free.
Man, 曼陀罗 man 的意思就是心意，然后tra 的意思就是解脱。
So there are many Sanskrit words which have been brought into Chinese.
所以有很多的这个梵文词就已经融进了这个中文里面。
Bhujapan is one.
佛教梵就是其中的一个例子，就来自梵文的。
Comes from the word Bhagavan.
来自这个 Bhagavan 这个词。
So in Bhagavad Gita we see Krishna is speaking. It says Bhagavan Uvacha, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
所以在《佛教梵歌》里面，他总是 Krishna 一开始说话，他就会前面的开头就是Bhagavan Uvacha, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
When Arjuna speaks, Arjuna is not Bhagavan. They just simply say Arjuna Uvacha.
当 Arjuna 说话的时候，因为 Arjuna 他不是佛教梵，所以只是说 Arjuna Uvacha。但是 Krishna 说话就是 Bhagavan Uvacha。
Krishna is Bhujapan。
Krishna 就是 Bhujapan。
The supreme, supreme of everyone。
所以他是至尊的。
Well, we are responsible for our own destiny.
是我们要为自己的这个命运负责。
We chose to come into this world.
是我们自己选择来到这个世界上。
那我在灵性世界，我来到灵性世界，我为什么要下来呢？
Wow.
You have free will.
因为你有这个自由意志。
Eternally free will. Krishna doesn't force you to stay with him.
对，你拥有这个永恒的自由意志。Krishna 他从来都不会强迫你做任何的事情。
Just like your father may be a very rich man,
就好像你的这个你的父亲是一个很有钱的人。
But you think, I don't want to just stay with my father. I want to go alone.
但是你可能会想，我不想跟我的这个父亲住在一起，我想要自己一个人过。
And the father tries to keep you at home, but you say, No, no, I want to go. I want to go on my own.
然后你的父亲可能就想要你待在家里面，但是你就说。不，我想要出去，我想要自己去这个独立生存。
The father has to give you independence.
这样的话，你的父亲可能最后就会给你这个独立自由。
But your father is always thinking, when will they come home? When will my child come home?
但是你的父亲可能一直都会惦记着你，就会想啊，我的孩子什么时候才会回家？
So we're in that position. Krishna is the father of all living entities.
所以我们就是处在这样的一个位置上。Krishna 他是所有生物体的父亲。
We come into this material world out of our own choice.
就是我们是出于自己的一个自由选择，然后才来到这个物质世界。
But if we make a little effort on our part to go back, then Krishna will immediately help us.
那假设我们自己做出一些小小的努力，就 Krishna 立刻就会帮助我们。回去。
还有一个问题，如果 Krishna 拥有那个
well, we don't have anything to do really with Buddhism.
就我们这个 Krishna 意识跟这个佛教没有任何关系。
Yeah, Buddhism.
But the question is, you said Krishna is the most famous person.
Yeah.
But why the
Amitabha famous?
But very few people in China, very few people in China know about Krishna. But Amitabha is more famous.
That's China, only in China.
是在中国是这样。
Not every country is like that.
并不是 why?
Why? Because China is an atheistic country.
因为中国是一个无神论的国家。
You have to spread the message of Krishna around China.
所以你应该负起这个传播 Krishna 在中国传播 Krishna 意识的责任。
哇、oh,
yeah. Let people know about Krishna.
让更多的人知道 Krishna， 了解 Krishna。
Prabhupada brought Krishna to America before Prabhupada's time. Hardly anybody knew about Krishna.
有帕帕德他把这个 Krishna 意识先是传播到了美国，在帕帕德之前，几乎没有人知道 Krishna 是谁。
So, in 30, 40 years, Prabhupada, the message of Krishna has spread.
然后在三四年、四十年之内，就 Krishna 意识就是传播到了整个世界。
Now Krishna has also come to China.
然后 Krishna 也来到了中国。
Bhagavad Gita had already come to China many years ago.
就《博迦梵歌》在这个很多年之前就已经来到中国了。
But people did not understand the importance of Bhagavad Gita.
但是人们就不了解《博迦梵歌》的重要性。
They did not become devotees of Krishna.
他们并没有成为就 Krishna 的奉献者。Buddhist more prevalent in China.
Well, it's been here for 1,000 years or more.
因为佛教传入中国可能已经有1000多年了。
Yeah, they have some advantage.
所以他们就是相比这个 Krishna 意识的话，他们就有些优势，因为他们时间比较长。
Yeah, it takes some time to spread the message of Krishna.
就是我们这个传播 Krishna 意识的这个讯息的话，就也需要花一些时间。
We cannot expect everyone to become Krishna devotee.
我们不能期望每个人都能成为 Krishna 的奉献者。
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, only one man among thousands is endeavoring for perfection.
Krishna 在《博迦梵歌》里面说，这个几千人当中，可能只有一个人才会这个追求完美。
And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows Krishna in truth.
在那些已经达到完美的人当中，几乎没有一个人就真正了解 Krishna。
So devotee of Krishna is very rare。
所以呢 ，Krishna 的奉献者是非常罕见的。
一个问题就是，我希望就是在我的工作当中，还有就是Govinda，帕布他就是这次联系我们，但是。
Very good.
非常好。
So ask the devotees to bless you.
要求呢，其他的奉献者祝福你。
This girl needs your blessings.
请给你一些祝福。
She needs blessings to distribute Prabhupada's books.
她需要得到祝福，让她可以更好去派发帕帕的书籍。
So we all bless her, yes?
我们一起，我们都愿意祝福她，是不是？
So now they offer prasadam. You can take a break. We'll have prasadam.
好，那我们就休息一下。
准备派prasadam，他们放prasadam。